greetings from a very snowy Des Moines, Iowa. It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 12th day of January. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Yeah, the National Weather Service says 7.5 inches already today, and it's still coming down. And that is on top of the 4 or 5 inches we received just a couple of days ago. Us? Yeah, we stayed in the studio. In the news today, Houthi rebels in the Red Sea is crimping trade and raising prices. Wall Street closed mixed. And why? The Olympics, for the first time, pick a beer sponsor. Big banks are bullish on the U.S. economy. The California wealth tax is coming and what that means. We've got the Wall Street Report, and Boeing will be getting a closer look by the FAA. For the interview, you'll meet Luke Moorhauser, the managing partner of a law firm celebrating 100 years in Des Moines. And they specialize in a very interesting niche, but this is not a local story. Let's go.
Insight on Business News and Comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and wow, we have a great show for you again today. Thanks so very much for being with us. I'm your host, Michael Libby, grateful as always that you're spending some time with us, learning about some of the big business news stories of the day. Well, lots of things travel through the Red Sea and into the Mediterranean through the Suez Canal. Things like oil, natural gas, grain, and everything from toys to electronics typically travel through the waterway separating Africa and the Arabian Peninsula. It's roughly 12% of the world's trade. Now, due to increasing attacks by the Iranian-backed Houthis based in Yemen, some of the world's largest container shipping companies and oil giant BP have been sending vessels on longer journeys around Africa so they bypass the Red Sea. And this is particularly impacting Europe, as 40% of Asia-to-Europe trade goes through the Suez Canal. In response to the growing impact of global trade, the United States and a host of other nations have created a new force to try to protect the ships. The cost to ship a standard 40-foot container from China to Northern Europe has jumped from $1,500 to $4,000, that according to the Kiel Institute for the World Economy in Germany. But that is still far from the $14,000 per container seen during the pandemic. But even at $4,000, the result? Prices are going up. Once again, Wall Street closed mixed after investors considered bank profits, the producer price index, and coming to grips with the fact inflation is more or less stuck, so rate cuts may not come as quickly as they hoped. Those numbers from today are coming at you in just a bit. Well, it is a first. The International Olympic Committee has picked a global beer sponsor. Prost! The AP is reporting that the IOC has announced that Anheuser-Busch InBev is the first beer brand in the 40-year history of its sponsorship program, which earns, by the way, billions of dollars for the organization and international sports. The Belgium-based brewing giant, whose brands include Budweiser, Corona, Michelob, and Modelo, will be on tap for the next 3 summer and winter games. The Paris Olympics opens on July 26, and the deal also includes the 2026 Winter Games in northern Italy. And then comes the prize asset, the Los Angeles Olympics in 2028. The value of the deal was not disclosed, although the IOC has said some of its sponsors pay more than $300 million to be in the Olympic Partner Program for a 4-year commercial cycle. Enjoy your beer. The nation's big banks remain bullish on the future of the U.S. economy, even with higher interest rates and increased consumer debt. The Associated Press is reporting that the biggest banks in the country posted strong profits last year, helped by higher interest rates and a strong economy, despite having to deal with the lingering industry costs of last year's banking crisis that caused the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and the Signature Bank. The banks had a mostly strong 2023, driven by a resilient job market, a U.S. consumer who continues to spend and not fall behind on their debts despite the impact of inflation, and also higher interest rates that have boosted revenue across the industry. J.P. Morgan Chase said on Friday that its profits dropped 15% in the fourth quarter, despite the bank reporting record quarterly revenue. So how can that be? Well, J.P. Morgan profits fell because it was required to pay $2.9 billion to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation as part of an industry-wide one-time special assessment by the regulator to cover the $16.7 billion in costs to cover the unsecured depositors caught up in the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Other banks like Citi and Bank of America are paying this assessment as well. You know, to most people, a wealth tax makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't somebody that makes a ton of money pay a higher tax on his or her haul? PubliNation is reporting that California certainly believes that a wealth tax could solve many of its problems, and since there are a lot of high rollers in the state, it just may work out. Now, how does it work, though? Well, if you are an everyday citizen of California, this tax probably won't make much of a difference to you. The tax is supposed to charge a 1% tax rate on household net worths of over $50 million, and 1.5% on households topping $1 billion in net worth. The tax applying to 1 billion households will go into effect this year, and the tax on households with $50 million net worth will go into effect in 2026. The net worth calculation does not just factor in properties and businesses in California, but worldwide as well, and there's the hitch. While California is the latest state to propose a wealth tax on its wealthiest citizens, they're far from the only one. Hawaii recently explored levying a 1% tax on all individuals with a net worth of over $20 million. Washington did the same, with a threshold net worth of $250 million. There is another interesting quirk about the California law, that the state is willing to pay a bounty. How does that work? Well, the system lets those who suspect high earners of not paying taxes report them to the state for non-payment. If the report turns out to be accurate, the state is willing to split the income it gets from the settlement with the reporter. Hey, it's a new side gig. Wall Street closed the week on Friday mixed. The Dow came off session lows to post a loss of 118 points at 37,592. The Nasdaq opened higher but played along the flat line all day and finally gained just 2 points to end the Friday trade at 14,972. The S&P 500 put up 3 points, ending at 47.83. West Texas Intermediate crude gained on the day, picking up 76 cents or $72.75 a barrel. The 10-year Treasury yield fell to 3.939%. And finally, there is this, and this is about the fallout still happening to Boeing. The Federal Aviation Administration will increase its oversight of Boeing, announcing that it plans to audit the 737 MAX 9 production line. The agency previously announced an investigation to determine whether Boeing followed FAA regulations requiring that its 737 MAX 9 planes were safe and conformed to their approved design. The news comes following last week's incident aboard an Alaska Airlines flight in which a door-sized panel blew out, forcing an emergency landing. All right, stay with us for the interview. My guest is Luke Morhauser. He's the managing partner of McKee, Voorhees & Sinise, an intellectual property firm that's called Des Moines home for 100 years. But get this, this is not a local story. Click ahead to learn more, and hey, thanks for listening.